everyone. Welcome to the Crafty Garden Mom Podcast. My name is Tanisha. If you're a new listener, welcome, welcome. Thanks for giving me a listen. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. So I hope everyone's doing well. We have been doing great around here. It's a new year, 2016. And I am so happy to come back after a break of a couple months and hopefully be able to get at least a once a month episode out once again. I think some of the things that were distracting me, some of the things that were taking up a lot of my time are either winding down now or not as big of an issue for me, and I'm able to refocus on some of the things that I'd been doing before. My health is doing better. I have been able to focus more on doing some things that are better for my health and or focus on me in that area. And it's been working and helping. Things with our oldest daughter, Samantha, are much better. She has been working hard and we have been working hard to help her out. And knock on wood, things have been good for the last 6-8 weeks. So things are getting better there as well. We had a great holiday from Thanksgiving with family and friends and Christmas with family and friends, Christmas Day. We were in 3 different places, all here close to home. We were here Christmas morning. Then we went for lunch at my parents, who live about a little less than an hour away. And then we had Christmas dinner at my cousin's house. By the end of the day, I don't even think we were out of her neighborhood before the girls were knocked out in the back seat of the van. And they had present openings and just kisses and hugs from all kinds of family and friends all day long. So the crash, the Christmas crash is real, and it's hard on kids and parents and anybody who's had to host that kind of party knows what I mean. But we all got through it. The girls recently celebrated their birthdays. Maddie turned 5. Samantha turned 9. I'm still kind of in denial about both of those ages. Maddie starts kindergarten this fall, and I can hardly believe it. And in December was my 5-year podcast anniversary. It was silent around here because I said, it was taking a break, but yeah, it's been 5 years that I have been pulling out the mic periodically more often in the past than lately, but it's been officially 5 years. So, and I've really enjoyed it, and I'm not, even though I may have periods of time where I don't podcast as often, I still enjoy it. I still enjoy pulling out the microphone and chatting with you, and then the feedback that comes afterward and the community. I think over these past 5 years that we've been able to build as a group of crafting podcasters, really focusing on the quilting end of it, I think it's been great over these last 5 years. And yeah, so I definitely plan to continue with that. I don't think I had anything else to update you on my life going on. I think, things at work are good. It's the same old. We are in kind of a holding pattern with what's going to happen since our company was purchased. So I don't know. I'm still doing my job the same pretty much daily as ever, and we'll see. I will definitely keep you posted. And I'm upbeat about it still because I'm really looking forward to some of the new avenues and opportunities being forced to having to, you know, basically I'm going to be forced to make if I'm laid off, actually doesn't scare me so much. I'm just, you know, I do have moments of, oh my God, I've never been in this position before, really. But for the most part, I'm in a, everything will be okay. It will all work out, and it's time actually. And so I'm not, scared or upset about it, really. I said this already, but the people I feel most for are the ones who I know are scared, are really concerned. And, you know, I know there are people just in general who really do not like change of any kind and don't deal well with change. And, you know, most of us who work in an office environment or work with other people can probably quickly identify themselves not included or included, identify the people who they know would have the biggest hurdles to overcome internally and externally with these kinds of things going on. But I'm okay. I am doing okay. And I'm actually glad at work to kind of be seen as a sounding board for some of those people who are having a little bit more anxiety about it. That's one of the benefits of having worked with the company for so long, and knowing pretty much everybody. It's been reassuring to me that I'm able to help some people kind of hopefully lower some of their anxiety. I'm certainly not thinking that I can eliminate it, but just to help them out is a nice thing to be able to do. So I will keep you posted as things progress there, as they will. So for some works in progress, I have not been sewing. I have seen several projects that have piqued my interest, but not enough yet for me to pull out, or I shouldn't even say pull out, it's just sitting there staring at me. I only recently took the cover off, and the reason I took the cover off is because I was hopeful that taking the cover off of my sewing machine would force me to actually sew something, but I haven't. I used where I thought maybe sewing just simple squares together would help. Instead, I just decided to finish a couple of knitting projects that I'd had lingering out there, and that actually helped. Just sitting, watching some, you know, British dramas or Netflix. I think I watched quite a few episodes of Gilmore Girls and some of my Korean dramas, although I can't really knit and watch those at the same time, but just doing that, kind of staying in a vegetative state in that way, helped a lot, especially in the evenings after a long day at work. It really did help. So I finished, I don't even think I've posted them, but as pictures, because I haven't blogged in so long, but I finished a hat and a pair of fingerless mitts that were very quick to knit up. And I finished Maddie's socks. I have not repaired Samantha's socks. I still need to figure out the best way to do that. And probably the best way would be for me to watch that Craftsy video or find the point in that Craftsy video on fixing your knitting mistakes. That would help me probably within 5 to 10 minutes figure out how to fix Samantha's socks. But really, this is terrible to say. Once I bind a project off, and that can be binding off a knitting project or putting the binding on a quilting project, I am mentally done with that project, and I don't want to go back. If I didn't fix the mistake while I was working on the project before the binding went on, it is such a pain for me mentally to go back and fix it. It really is. I know this is so incredibly lazy of me. I should be ashamed, but I'm just putting it out there. I really, once the binding goes on, again, whether it's knitting or quilting, once that binding goes on, I am done. Now, on quilting, yes, I do bury my threads, and if I need to tie any or snip any loose threads off, yes, I do that. But like if there was, you know, if there's a block that's turned the wrong way or something and I catch it after I've quilted it and after I've bound it, and that's happened before. It's happened before. I haven't done a pieced quilt in a long time, but in the past it has happened. Man, there is no getting me to undo all that to turn a block around. Like, it is not happening. Yeah. So, and I think that's what how I feel about these socks, because between you and me, a part of me is like, you know, I still have plenty of leftover yarn. I could probably knit her up a new sock. Isn't that terrible? Rather than learn, don't tell my kids I said this, because this is not what I would tell my kids to do. Rather than learn how to fix this mistake, I would rather cast on a whole new sock. And this kid does not have a small foot. She wears a size 6.5 women's shoe. So it's not like I'm knitting a kid size sock. I am knitting a woman's foot size sock. I would rather cast on and knit a whole new sock than go back into the cuff. Because it's not like it's even in the leg, or I'd have to rip back all the way to the heel. No, this is in the cuff of the sock, and because this was a toe-up sock. I know some of you who are knitters are like, oh my gosh, this is the laziest thing I've ever heard. I'm sorry. I know. Yeah. I have to laugh at myself because sometimes my laziness and my procrastinating is just so ridiculous. Again, not what I would tell my kids to do. I totally admit to being the biggest hypocrite, because I would be, you will go back and fix that mistake. There is no way you are turning in that work to your teacher tomorrow. Yes, I am such a hypocrite. I know. Don't tell my kids. Don't tell my kids. When we're all adults, just like with my mom and I now, and I just look at her and go, really? When I was a kid, and she just looks at me and goes, you're an adult and I'm an adult. The truth can come out now. And you know what? I will say the same thing to both of my daughters. You're an adult and I'm an adult. The truth can now come out. And my mom said to me one time, so basically what I'm telling you is most of your childhood was a lie. You know, sometimes that's just the way it is. You find out how much your parents were lying about things. Their philosophies. All to make you a better person so that you can also be a hypocrite when you become a parent. And stand on your high horse. Anyway. So, like I said, I knit Maddie socks and have not posted a picture, even on Instagram, of those. She put them on her feet and ran off. And I've seen one since, and I will try and dig out the other one. So hopefully before they get ruined. Because she's notorious for running around in her socks. And let's just say I buy a whole big pack, like a 10 or 12 pack of white socks, at least 2 or 3 times a year. And if you look in her drawer, they're all gray and there are stains, mud stains that will never come out. And I don't really like to use bleach, but yeah, I don't know what that girl does. I have no idea. Sam socks have not always been so bad. Anyway, so before that happens to these knit socks and I despair and secretly promise myself probably to never knit her another pair again, I will take a picture of those. But they turn out very cute. They are, I knit them with Knit Picks Felici yarn in the, I think it's called Lollipop, the colorway, but I called them Jelly Bean, because to me they look like Jelly Belly colors. And she likes to call them her Jelly Bean socks too. And so it's a striping sock, and they look very cute. They go up her little legs almost to her knees with the cuff. And she says they're very toasty warm and they feel good on her feet, but they are rather snug. I've had this cough I cannot get rid of, and it just comes out of nowhere. So where I think I knit, these are 48 stitches. I probably should have gone to 50 or 52 stitches. And so if I do knit her another pair, which I probably will, next fall, maybe, I'll make them a little less snug because they are, you know, we do kind of have to two-hand shuffle them on around over the heel. They're a little snug, but she loves them. And the yarn itself, both she and Samantha have said, because I knit Samantha's with Felici yarn in a, I think the colorway was called Countess, which was all purples, like a gradation of purple stripes, because purple's Samantha's color. They both said they really liked the feel of this yarn. It's very warm and toasty. So that's their socks, the repair I need to do, as well as a finished project. And then, because it's been a while since I've knit anything for myself, since my last pair of socks, I had bought a while ago, I bought some Knit Circus, a skein of Knit Circus gradient yarn. And these are just gorgeous, gorgeous gradients that Knit Circus does. They are on Etsy. I think it's knitcircusyarns.etsy.com, I believe. I'll post a link in the show notes. But I purchased a 645 yards skein of Opulence base, which is 80% merino, 10% cashmere, and 10% nylon in the Fashion Week colorway, which starts with an orange and goes out to a reddish orange to pinks and fuchsia, and then finishes in purples. It is gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. And 645 yards is more than enough to do a very nice sized shawl. I spent a little time going through Ravelry, both what I'd already had in my queue and the patterns that they have in Ravelry, to find a simple shawl that would use up most of this yarn. I knew I needed to use up most of it because, you know, if I only found like a 400 yard shawl, I wouldn't get all the way out to the purples in this. So I wanted to be sure I was using up as much of this yarn as possible, because the less you use of this, the ball, the fewer colors in the gradient that you'll get. So I needed to use something. And I think the Holden shawl is the one that I ended up picking. And I'm looking at the pattern here. This one, the size I'm making it in, uses approximately 550 yards. So it's about 100. A little less than 100 yards short. However, I have a looser gauge. And I looked back on a few of my projects, and I think I was usually 30 to 40, even 50 yards over the required amount. So I figure if the pattern's calling for 550 and I go up to, let's say, at most 600, and this is a 645 yard skein, I'm using up most of it. So this pattern, the Holden, it is a paid pattern. It is by Mindy Wilkes. It's a pretty well-known pattern. There's quite a few pretty beautiful projects completed in there, and it's a classic top-down triangular shawl, and the beginning part around the neck that I'm working on now that you start with is just a simple knit and purl stockinette with yarn overs for the increases. So there are holes both in the center going down the center of the shawl and on the edges, and then it finishes, once you finish this body part of the shawl, there is a wide lace edge that will use up quite a bit of the yarn. And that is knits. You just basically need to know how to knit, yarn over, slip, knit, and purl. I'm looking here. Oh, and knit two together. Very simple, basic stitches, I will say. This isn't a very complicated pattern at all, and I would not be scared. If you're a newer knitter, I would not be scared or anxious about the lace edging on it because it's a very simple pattern in lace. It's not, I've done much, much more complicated lace that actually did end up scaring me off on a couple patterns. I was like, yeah, this is getting a little too complicated. Because I have, admittedly, I have really short-term memory. Like, it's very, for whatever reason, especially when I'm knitting, it's very difficult for me to remember the way a pattern on a row is supposed to go. I pretty much every row have to look just to, and it may be more just to reassure myself that I'm not making a mistake, because as I've already mentioned, I don't like to go back and have to correct mistakes. But, and a lot of that probably has more to do with the fact that I don't know how well to go back, rip out stitches and put them back on the needles. I'm not very comfortable with that. So, I like more simple patterns that I don't have to think too hard and refer to the paper so often. I like to just be able to sit and knit or purl and watch TV or listen to something and not have to worry so much that I'm missing stitches and that kind of thing. But this was a little, probably since, you know, I've spent the last 2-3 projects just basically knitting in the round for both socks and the fingerless mitts. This one, going back and forth, knitting and purling and yarn over and some slip knits and that kind of thing, is a little bit more complicated, but it is still keeping me very interested. And using this very luxurious yarn, I can definitely feel the cashmere when I touch the fabric that's being made from the knitting that I'm doing. I've legitimately got a fabric going here. Yeah, it's just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful yarn. So I'm really, really happy how this project's coming out so far. It's actually coming along quicker than I thought it would too. Again, I think that's probably more to do with the fact that it's not very complicated. So that's really what I'm working on. I have been doing some painting and art journaling. I probably in a future episode will talk a little bit more about that. I have decided to do Lifebook 2016 again, or really sign up for it again, because I enjoyed the lessons, even just watching some of the lessons. I didn't do all of the lessons, but having, because you get to keep pretty much all of your lessons, you save all the video, and there's so much hours and hours and hours of video that you're given in this course, which is a year long. That to me was worth the expense alone, because there's just nowhere else for under $200 that you can get well over almost 1,000 hours of all different kinds of artists doing all different kinds of art. Basically it that you can keep forever, as long as you save it onto a jump drive or something. So, I thought it was very well worth it. And the first few lessons that we've had so far this year, which I have been working on, have been phenomenal. Like, just there, sometimes in a class, you feel you get your money's worth because the teacher gives one key lesson or one nugget, like a golden nugget that you're like, oh my gosh, like that just changed everything for me. And there have been several moments in some of the ones I've watched where I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Like, of course the paint would react that way every time I do that. Or of course that's how I should draw a nose. You know, like it's just, it's helped so much in what I've been working on. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. And once Instagram, I know, has kind of hijacked my blog, but that's the other thing. In the coming weeks, I do intend to start posting some more things on my blog again. Not so much, you know, because I necessarily feel Instagram isn't good enough, but I do kind of miss posting more pictures than I might post on Instagram. I don't always remember on Instagram either to take the picture and that kind of thing. Whereas on a blog, I do like the writing and writing out and sharing some more of what I did to make the thing than you want to type into Instagram's post. So I will be getting back to doing that as well. So just moving on quickly, because I didn't intend for this to be a very long episode at all, even though I am usually pretty long-winded. I did want to mention a couple of podcasts that I've been listening to and enjoying. The first one is called The Possibilitarian Podcast with Kelly Ray Roberts. She is a well-known mixed media artist, and she and her, art partner, I should say, they work together in Kelly Ray's studio. I think Lynn, does some of the admin for her and teaches some of the in-studio classes with her. But Kelly Ray and Lynn both host the Possibilitarian podcast, where it's just them really sitting and chatting about art, making art, creativity, getting out of your own head and feeling that you have to be perfect with everything that you make. Kelly Ray gives some insights into building a business with your art and some of her tips and things that she's learned along the way in building a successful business. Talking through things like where you get inspiration from when you're not feeling inspired, or, you know, working around kids, working around life in general. Just a nice, usually 30 to 60 minute chat between two girlfriends, really, is how they make it sound. And it's very peaceful sounding. Kelly Ray in particular has just a very peaceful personality. I have taken several online classes with her, and she is actually an artist that one day I would love to meet. I mean, she's one where if the timing was right, I would buy a ticket and pay the fee to fly out to California just to see her studio, for one, but to take a several day course with her. She just overall has a very peaceful personality that I really, really like. And, she's only, I think, on episode 6 or 7 of her podcast, but, you know, I'm 6 or 7 episodes behind on most podcasts at most of the time, because I've got so many in my feed. I do need to weed through some of them that I haven't listened to in over a year, but, you know, I'm always behind anyway. So yeah, but she's one that I think when we were snowed in the last week or so, I caught up on like 2 or 3. And there was another time period, I think when I wasn't feeling well, that I just sat in the bed and back to back listened to 2 or 3 of her episodes, because her voice was so peaceful, but the content of what they were talking about didn't make it so like meditative that I fell asleep either, if that makes sense. But anyway, so that's the Possibilitarian podcast. If you're an artist, if you do artsy things or crafting things, or you just like to get inspiration or listen to other artists talk and chat about making art, I highly recommend it. The other podcast that I've thoroughly enjoyed is Happier with Gretchen Rubin and her sister, I think it's Elizabeth Kraft, who has one of the most interesting voices I've ever heard for a woman. I mean, she's got a great voice. Her sister, I mean. And Gretchen has a pretty good voice for radio and podcasting as well. These are two sisters. Gretchen Rubin, you may know from the book The Happiness Project, and better than her most recent one is Better Than Before. I have had the pleasure of meeting and chatting several times with Gretchen just through work when her first and second books came out. I missed her at her last book's junket when she was doing some of the publicity for that. But in the past, I've had the opportunity to both meet with her, chat with her, and listen to her speak And her mission is to basically find happiness and help others find their happiness and what's going to make them better at what they're already doing or what they want to be doing. And so they call their podcast Happier because they talk about all the different things in life that can help you be happier. And the episodes each are not very long. They keep it very much to the point. They don't really get off on a tangent like I do. But the topics are always fun. I like the fact that you can tell their sisters that they have that easy camaraderie. They bring in every couple episodes. There might be a little bit of their fond memory of growing up in Kansas that they have, and they'll share a little bit about that. Just briefly, I like some of those insights. But Gretchen in particular is very good about talking about what she's passionate about, which is this happiness project that she's been on for years now. And so I have found just real value in listening to that podcast as well. So I wanted to share that with you if you weren't already listening to Happier. And then a newer podcast, I only listened so far to the first episode, but thoroughly enjoyed it. It is What Should I Read Next with Anne Bogel, B-O-G-E-L. She is the author of a blog I have been reading for quite a few years now, Mrs. Modern Darcy. And she recently started this podcast because while her blog isn't 100% about books, I can tell in the last year to 18 months, she's really moved a lot of the content and focus in her blog to books. And I think that's why she started this podcast that's basically about books. And in most of the episodes so far, from what I can tell, she's chatting with another author about books, about what they like to read, what they don't like to read, what she's currently reading. Just giving you basically have a notepad and pen handy to jot down some of the titles and authors that they discuss, that both Anne and her guest talk about. And it's a newer podcast, so you can tell she's getting her feet wet with it, but she's doing a great job. And, you know, she's a natural at it, at interviewing. She's a very friendly personality that definitely has always come across in her blog, in her writing style. So I knew when she mentioned a while ago she was thinking about starting a podcast, I knew, you know, just like any of us, that will come through in your speaking and in your chatting with people, hopefully. And it definitely does with Anne. So if you're into books, and you need more to read or want to know what's out there, Anne is definitely one to go listen to. That's the What Should I Read Next podcast. And then, of course, books. I don't have a classic movie because, like I said, I could pull one out of thin air, I guess. But, nah, I'm not going to do that. Maybe if I'm... There's a couple classic movies I've got queued up in my Amazon video feed that I haven't watched in a long time. So probably next episode, I'll have one or two to share with you. But lately, I've really been watching Downton Abbey, Agent Carter from Marvel, which is the season 2 just started a couple weeks ago. Thoroughly enjoying that. And Korean dramas and Gilmore Girls. So I haven't watched classic movies in quite a while. And The Goonies. I think that might be the closest classic I could call it. But for books, I don't have a specific review on a book. It's still early in the year, and I haven't found a new book yet. Although I'm going to cheat a little bit and share with you a little bit about a book I'm currently reading. But there are a couple that I've enjoyed that you may have heard about on other podcasts or other places, or maybe not. The first one I listened to, Alive by Scott Sigler. And I listened to this, I guess being in the book industry, it really intrigued me to know that an author was marketing his books via podcast. And I know I heard this mentioned on Pam's podcast, Pam Hip to Be a Square podcast. And I think also Daisy at Very Lazy Daisy mentioned it as well. Scott Sigler. I think it's called Scott Sigler Audiobooks, the podcast. But I had heard through the publisher as well. And I know when I would go to Book Expo, I think he did several segments live from Book Expo. And so I would hear his name and hear him talking. He has a very good radio personality type voice. And so he's very good at marketing himself. And again, being in the book industry and just constantly talking to publishers about different ways of marketing books and authors, and yeah, just knowing that, like, this kind of piqued my interest. So I knew I wanted to listen, and I'm pretty sure it was Pam and or Daisy who had said they were listening to Alive via his podcast. I think that's how it all happened. Anyway, I started listening as well because this is a published book. It's on the bookshelves at any bookstore you go to, you know, but he first published it, so to speak, via his podcast as free content. And let me tell you, this, like, there were almost panels on this topic and from publishers. It's just, it's amusing. It's interesting. It's intriguing to hear them talk about it as well as get involved and engaged in the conversation as well. That's part of what I do for my job. But having listened to it and then listened to both his intro and his outro and rewinding, because, you know, I wasn't just going there to listen to the book. I was going there as someone in the industry who was interested in a little bit more than that. But anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed this book, Alive. It is one of those dystopian type young adult reads. Basically, a girl wakes up in a coffin and she doesn't know who she is. She thinks she's 12. She figures out she's in the body of an adult, and she doesn't know where she is, what happened to her. She can vaguely remember snippets of her past, and then she slowly learns that she's not alone. And it's basically a group of other children / adults who are with her and also have no clue and have vague memories of who they are, their personalities, and they have to go basically on a mission on finding out how to get out of this place they're in. And he does a very good job of ending it on a soft cliffhanger, so to speak. That's kind of what we call them. It's not, and the gun went off, you know, and you don't know who got shot. It's more, and, you know, we take a step into this next phase of the world that we're in. So it's a little bit less of a dramatic, this was a little bit less of a dramatic ending, but you still are, at least I was still intrigued enough to want to continue with this cast of characters and this world Scott Sigler has created. And you want to find out a little bit more how M, who is the main character, it turns out for her. So the next book, I lucked out almost to the day, because I started listening to this podcast because he's very smart in that he released about 30 minutes of the audio in each podcast episode for, I think, 20 episodes. So this took me quite a while to get through, but that was okay for me. It's not like an Audible book where you download, let's say, all 12 hours of the book and you kind of listen to that almost continuously. At least that's how I do it. This one, I would listen to an episode and listen to maybe two or three other podcasts and then go back and listen to one more episode and listen to two or three other podcasts, you know, versus not have anything breaking it up for me. So it took me quite a while to get through, but that's fine. I still got through it almost to the day of finishing the last episode of Alive and finishing the book. I received an advance copy of the second book, which comes out in April. So I will start reading that digitally because it was sent to me digitally. I will just read that digitally because I do want to find out what happens. So that's Alive by Scott Sigler. The next book, the next two books I did want to mention that I enjoyed. I won't go into great detail about them, but one is Listen to Me by Kristen Proby. If you're a romance reader and you enjoy romances, I wouldn't say these are erotica, but I also wouldn't say these are Hallmark movie channel type romances, you know, where there's no sex. There is, but it's not 50 Shades of Grey, if you know what I mean. What I like about Kristen Proby is she gets right to the point. I like how she writes mainly her female characters. She doesn't write wishy-washy kind of female characters who waffle around. Now, of course, they have your regular adult anxieties and personality quirks that maybe don't fully match up with who you are, but she writes female characters who stand up to even the alpha male. Like that to me, I don't mind an alpha male in a romance, but I cannot stand when she basically is, she might be 25, but she's acting 15, if that makes sense. Like, really? Like get a spine, would you? Like, really? Like, that just so annoys me. And I usually, those are DNF books for me, did not finish, because I can't, I cannot do that. So I just can't go there anymore. I'm tired of the wishy-washy, even in new adult books. Like, get a spine, please. I was certainly not the person I am at 42 as I was at 22, but I certainly would not have allowed a man to say or do some of those things that happen in some of those new adult books. That would not have flown with me. And I'm like, yeah, got to figure out. I just can't, it's not going to fly with me in my reading either. So I move on. Because I've also learned for every 5 books that there are that way, there are 5 more books that are written by authors that I really like and admire and write good characters. And Kristen Proby's one of them. She's not deep. Like, these are 250 to 280 page. She gets to the point. She tells a good romantic story, interesting characters. Most of the women are successful or have, you know, have it together. Let's put it that way. Or are on the road to getting it together. And the guys that I like in her romances also have it together and appreciate a woman who has it together and aren't looking for somebody, I guess, who is more submissive to them, so to speak. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into that. Listen to Me is a good one. And I liked both characters enough that I would come back to it. So, I do recommend, I'm not sure. I think Listen to Me just released, but Kristen Proby, Proby, she has a pretty big backlist of titles that I recommend. Her, I think it's In Seattle or With Me in Seattle series, I think is 7 or 8 books long. And I enjoyed every one of those. I thought those were very good. And then she has another series. I think it's set in Montana. So I think it's called like Under the Big Sky or something. And those were pretty good too. So I do recommend her if you're interested in a romance. And then the other book I read and enjoyed was Mindy Kaling's newer book. It certainly, I think it's been out for at least 6 months now, maybe, or came out in the fall. It's called Why Not Me? And her first book, I think it was called Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me? which Goodreads said I read, but for the life of me, I can't remember reading it. I think that one came out in 2013 or 14. So it's been a while, and there have been a lot of books in between. But Goodreads said I read it, and I'm pretty sure I did, because I do enjoy Mindy Kaling. But I more recently read this one and enjoyed it. It's fun. She is funny. She's a good writer. She's very to the point. She's very frank. She's, I think age-wise, I would say she's how do I put it? Like, because I read Amy Poehler and Tina Fey's book. And what I would say is, while I think all three ladies are very funny and have great careers that I admire, I can tell the difference in the phase of life they're all in. Like Amy and Tina, the reason I think they work so well together, one, because they're just brilliant comedians to get both separately and together, but they're within the same age group. And Mindy's, you know, a generation younger than they are. So you can kind of tell through her writing and what she writes about her difference in experiences. However, that doesn't make it any less enjoyable or fun to read or interesting. What I do like is Mindy is a little bit more candid about what it's like being an actress and doing things like love scenes and some of the things you can and can't say to certain actors and actresses, and some of her experiences in getting jobs and getting the Mindy Project and writing, because she writes almost all, you know, for all of the things she wrote for The Office that she also acted in, and her experiences of that, which are, I think, for her, a lot more current. Whereas with Tina and Amy's biographies, they were writing about stuff that happened 20 years ago, whereas Mindy was writing about stuff that happened like 3 years ago. I think that's kind of what I meant more when I was saying the generation gap in the writing. That was really more the difference. There is a difference in writing when you're writing about something that happened a long time ago and you're kind of vague on the specifics, like we all are when we get to a certain age. Like, oh, let me just make sure I got the cast of characters right of the way this whole scenario happened in my life, you know, and who I'm and the audience I'm telling it to as well makes a difference. So anyway, I do recommend, if you like reading biographies, if you like to laugh while you're reading and listening to someone's true story, I do recommend Mindy Kaling's book. It's very good. And I would read something else by her, which I'm sure, as successful as her first two books have been, I'm sure she will write more. And, you know, she's like anybody, she's still young enough to have miles to go in her career, that there are there's such potential for several more books out of her. So I look forward to those. And then the two books I'm currently reading are Stiletto by Daniel O'Malley, which is the second book in the Sheke Files series. I talked a long time ago about The Rook by Daniel O'Malley. And I believe after that, Pam read it and she enjoyed it as well and talked about it on her podcast. And Stiletto comes out in June. I think it got moved to June now. So this is an advance read. I will just say, if you haven't already, you have plenty of time between now and June to read The Rook by Daniel O'Malley. Go back and listen to my or Pam's reviews on those. Just know I do recommend it. I thought it was very good. And I'm enjoying Stiletto. I don't want to give a whole lot away. It's definitely a continuation of the same world, the same city, London, and the main character, Miffany, is in it. She's not the only main character in it, though, which I kind of like, and I can kind of tell why he needed to introduce one or two more characters in this second book. It can get a little confusing. I'm a little confused in it so far. I've been a little confused, but what I like about his style is he does quickly clear up some questions that you have as the story goes along. So, like, the character will introduce something to the story and you're like, huh, what? Or the dialogue will cause you to have some questions. And then in the next couple paragraphs later, he answers those questions. So I do like the fact he doesn't leave you wondering about the specifics for too long, which would get kind of annoying, you know, if you're kind of like, well, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand why this happens and why this person does this. And, you know, I don't understand what's going on. He answers those questions. So I'm enjoying it for that reason in particular. The other book I'm reading at a slower pace, but I'm enjoying it, is Spark Joy by Marie Kondo. It's the second book in her, series. I don't know. Her first book is the well-known and much talked about Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Which I enjoyed. I thought it was good. It gave me the kick in the pants I needed last year in particular, to simplify and start decluttering more. I didn't take all of her concepts to heart. Like, I'm not interested in talking to my clothes and saying hello to my home when I come in and emptying out my purse of all of its contents. Yeah, no, I don't need the 20 receipts and the half-eaten lollipop sitting on my counter every night. It's not happening. And that could just stay in there and congeal until I'm ready to change my purse. I know, it's so gross. Never stick your hand in my purse. So Spark Joy is a little bit more of a detailed book on the same concept of tidying up. So, for example, she had talked about folding your clothes instead of hanging all of them up. She demonstrates in this book, there's illustrations on what she means by that. She goes into some more depth on clearing specific areas of your home. And again, I'm reading it more because I'm still decluttering. And what I did like about the first book is that it was just a good reminder of needing to declutter, needing to overall create a home that is a joy to be in and that we're comfortable in. And that I'm not just sitting in every room and I think, boy, I need to get rid of some of this stuff. You know, just that's how I felt for a long time. Like, we just had too much stuff. And I still feel that way, but it's not as strong because I know I've made a concerted effort over the last year to really declutter quite a few rooms and quite a few bags of stuff. So I'm happy about that. But that's Spark Joy by Marie Kondo. And that's all I have. Yeah, this is even saying this was not going to be a long episode. It's still almost an hour. So I'm going to wrap it up here. And again, thank you very much for listening. You can find the show notes for this episode at my blog, craftygardenmom.com. Please stop by and leave a comment if you've enjoyed the episode or you have any questions. You can also send me an email at taniciaquilts@yahoo.com. I am on Instagram as Crafty Garden Mom and Twitter as Crafty Garden Mom. You can also find me in the Twilter group or on Facebook. And I am also available on Ravelry and Goodreads under Tanisha N. You can pretty much find me anywhere. You'll find me. It's okay. I'm happy to chat with you, and I so appreciate your listening. Until next time, bye-bye.